So today's sermon, we're going to be looking at chapter 16 through 18 of 1 Samuel. And the title of today's sermon is Same Beginning but Different Ending. Last week we have looked at chapters 9 through 15, the beginning of the king's rulings, starting with our first king, Saul. As we have mentioned many times, the history is moving away from theopolitical status, where it is ruled according to the covenant made with God into the king's rulings, where people are representing on behalf of God. So regardless of the type of political government, whether it is democratic or whether it's communism, as long as God's promises and covenants are at the center of it, then it can lead to a good outcome. As a result, God has made Saul the first king. At first glance, the king Saul appeared to be weak and lacking in many aspects. Therefore, he had the humble heart. Thus, in God's eyes, he looked sufficient to be the first king. However, we know that wasn't the case at the end. Because Saul was humble and had passion to serve God as utmost high, God allowed him to be successful at first. That's why he instated him as the first king. However, Saul messed this up by falling into a delusion that his success was due to his own ability, rather than because of God's allowing. Then he started to live an arrogant life. As a king, he was supposed to lead all of the people to God's teachings and commandments. However, he has forgotten about his mission and started to live an improper life. Saul's attitude is being portrayed in chapter 15, and we can actually see Saul's true intention when God has given him an order to do something. He showed no intention of fulfilling God's desires. That's when God regretted of having Saul appointed as the king. The most important thing that we need to have in mind when reading the Bible is that God doesn't explicitly show his power to rule the world, but rather he uses power to he uses his people to rule it. So he doesn't use his power, but he allows the people to rule it on behalf of him. Remember, as we have seen with other characters in the previous books of the Bible, God never controls his people. Rather, God reveals his heart to his people so that people can see that and can gain the will on their own to follow God. That's how he works. This is God's method of doing his work. And that is why God sometimes regrets and shows anger at the things that people do, such as what Saul did here. And since God respects us as human beings, he doesn't try to undo what Saul has done, but rather he just accepts the mistake caused by Saul. That's what he does. And due to Saul's such behavior, God chooses a different king afterwards. Now, here comes David. As we all know, he's a very important character in the Bible, and he's probably one of the most famous ones in the Bible. In chapter 16, it talks about the process of choosing the next leader. In Samuel, even Samuel takes into considerations of the kings that people would usually look for. However, in verse 7, it says, God doesn't look at the things man look at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So, you know, when we go for work or when we see someone, we look at their potential, we look at how they look, we look at how they talk, we look at how wealthy they are, how powerful they are, all those kind of things, right? But God says he doesn't look at any of that. He looks at the heart of a man or a woman. And this doesn't just apply to David, but also when God was choosing Saul, this was applied at then as well. And it's highly likely for God to have looked at Saul's heart when he decided to choose him to be the king. In David's family, there were other sons, and David was the youngest and the weakest. So you can again see that God really doesn't care about the appearance or the traits that people would normally cherish for. And again, this was the reason why God has chosen Saul, because he was weak. And this is the reason why he has chosen David as well. It wasn't the case that David was special that God has chosen to be the next king, but rather it was because God looked at the heart and saw that David was weak and humble towards God. Similar to Saul, when God was anointing David, God allowed Holy Spirit to guide him. Our God is a spiritual God, so whenever he approaches to humans, he doesn't use some mysterious power to communicate with us or to lead us, but rather he uses the Holy Spirit to lead us. So he leads us by his words and commandments, right? At many times, he will lead us to his presence with his words. However, in our lives, we tend to follow the earthly things and cultural trends, which makes us to deviate from the truth and the holy spiritual guidance. That's when we tend to disappoint our God. So according to Holy Spirit, it tells us that people who are guided by the Holy Spirit needs to live a life that doesn't compromise with the earthly values, but only with God's laws and commandments. And we need to be able to choose the latter in our lives. In this context, we can compare why David's ending was dramatically different from the Saul's ending, when technically speaking, they had been approached by the same Holy Spirit when they had been when they went through that anointment in the same manner. And God also looked at the center of their hearts before choosing them. And they started off on the right path or on the same page. But today's sermon is all about looking at just comparing these two kings and how they are so different and how they have become so different. And we need to be able to pick up on the factors that differentiate these two characters and must learn from it so that we may end up choosing the right path, the right outcome, which is David's path, not the Saul's path. That's the main takeaway point for today's sermon. The Holy Spirit leads our lives with God's words. Leads our lives with God's words. So what does it mean by spiritual anointment? It means that you're choosing God's words above anything else, and you cherish God's words and try to live according to God's words. That's what it means. So whether you're listening to God's words through the sermon at church or at your workplace, you know that through God's words, you're able to see your sins, that you couldn't have seen it before, and you start to live a differentiated life from the past. And you get the feeling that you cannot live your old life anymore because you just feel guilty, because you know the truth and you know which way will make God happy and that will lead to a good outcome. You just know it, right? And the only way to knowing it is by kind of reflecting your life by looking at the words. So without looking at the mirror, you're not sure whether your face is dirty per se. It's only by looking at the mirror you're able to see your own reflection and able to correct it and able to wipe your face and to clean your face. So similarly, our Bible is like a mirror, and if we don't look at the Bible, we're not going to be able to see the sins that we commit in our daily lives, and we're not going to be able to differentiate ourselves from the other other people out there who are non-Christians. And you thus realize that as a Christian, the fact that you're trying to live exactly according to God's words is the most important thing that a Christian can do in his or her life. So you know that God's words are important, and his commandments, and it's good to obey his words, and blah, 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 they're all important. But what you need to be aware of is the fact that of the purpose of why those words are important. So in the Bible, we can see the Holy Spirit challenging people's lives. With David, we know the Spirit has challenged David to fight against Goliath, by making David realize that this is the right thing to do according to God's intention. So for those who try to live according to God's words, the Holy Spirit has enabled them to face tough challenges. And the Holy Spirit works in the same manner in the present time with us. And one example was the early churches. There were people that threatened the true worshipers back then. Those true worshipers were able to see God's true intentions and love, and therefore tried to spread the gospel in ways that God had wanted. However, Pharisees and officers tried to kill and threaten those people. However, these people didn't compromise to those threats and believed in their work as per God's intention. And they were willing to die for the truth. Therefore, since Saul and David experienced the same anointment of the Holy Spirit, it must be true that they were able to see what the truth was and what God would want them to behave. However, if you look at the result, you can actually see that Saul was quick to change. However, for David, after the anointment, you can actually see that he was being faithful to God and his commands. If you look at the historical context, it seems like Saul collapsed after he was actually acknowledged for his success with the war against the Ammon. So we can see that the acknowledgement has actually caused the man to be more arrogant. Saul couldn't help himself from the proudness and his arrogance, which ultimately led to his death. However, for David, his life was the opposite. He was actually just minding his own business and tended the sheep without expecting any acknowledgement from those around him. This has trained him to be the faithful follower for God in the future. However, when we look at the entirety of the history, then there is an argument to be made that these two kings, Saul and David, are really no different from each other. In the case of Saul, we know that he was acknowledged at a very early stage of his career, so this gave him the opportunity to become arrogant even more early. However, in the case of David, he went through a tough time at first. He was an assistant for Saul, and due to the misapprehension, he had to run away from Saul for 15 to 20 years until he could finally return back to be the next king. As a result, both have collapsed at the end. Saul collapsed due to his success in the war, and David collapsed due to his lust for his commander's wife. This tells us how many temptations we have to go through in our lives. It may come to you at an early stage, or it may come to you at later, right? But what is true, what is an inevitable fact is that these two kings, these two characters, even though the result are different, and we know that they're different, they made the same mistake. They committed the similar sins, one after they had become a king. It's just a matter of time when it was going to happen for each of these characters. So what makes these two characters radically different? And you could kind of even say that David has committed a worse sin, a worse thing that a man could do, right? He killed his commander and his man in order to physically satisfy himself of the commander's wife. And it might seem like it's worse than what Saul did, right? But what makes these two characters radically different? Well, God uses the same messenger to reveal their own sins to Saul and David. So Saul and David were able to see their sins. However, while David repented once he realized his sins, Saul continued to cherish his arrogance more than his sins. There is no mentioning of Saul's repentance in the Bible. Verbally speaking, he does say that what he did was wrong, but we can't really see him putting effort into making good of his sins. On the other hand, for David, he made sure He repented to come back to what he was before, to his humble self. That was the difference. Again, and many times, we treat David as if he's some special dude that defeated the Goliath and he has been chosen by God. That's all we know about David, but we can actually see that this is not the case. He was actually very similar to Saul and other sinners. There's literally no difference between Saul and David. But what we need to remember is that when our Holy Spirit is trying to guide us into the right direction after committing a sin by challenging us, that is when we need to really take upon the challenge and act differently from Saul. This is exactly what David did. And he has chosen to repent and choose the right path, even though he was the king who could have done anything he had wished to do, which is exactly what Saul did. Saul was just coming up with clever arguments, excuses, and reasons to circumvent his problems, but that's not the case for David. He flat out said, you know, I messed up, I screwed up, I want to make things right, I want to repent to God, I want to be my humble self again. And that's what he did. So when we go back home to meditate on this, always remember that David and Saul were no different. And think about how these two characters ended up with a different result. Now let's continue to look at the verse from verse 14. It says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord has departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him." We need to learn about the context in order to properly understand this verse. Because you're like, did God just curse Saul, right? So we got to understand the context first. We need to understand that God doesn't actually send evil spirits to torment people, to his people. In this case, Saul, because he is a fair God and God that works in a humanly way. So our God is not an evil God, but rather a righteous God. So he doesn't trigger the evil. And also, God doesn't create the evil. The evil is actually brought upon the humans themselves. It is created when they defy against God's order and start to live according to their own arrogance and values. That's when evil is created. God doesn't like evil. He doesn't create it. It's the Satan who creates it. And it's the help of the people themselves that actually completes the evil. So what did God do for Saul when he had committed his sins? God probably sent the Holy Spirit to challenge him so that he can come back to God. God was likely to use many methods to get Saul back on track because our sin is the loving God. Because our God is a loving God. However, no matter how hard God tried to persuade Saul, his pride and arrogance were too great for God to do anything else. It's like God's like a surgeon who tried all he could do to save the patient, but since the matter was too serious, there was nothing that God could have done anymore to save him. And you know that it's the patient who needs to not give up on himself or herself. Similarly, it is when we refuse to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, is when God gives up on us. So it is our spiritual lives as well. If we come to church but doesn't live a changed life, then the Spirit will lead us, will leave us eventually. So to sum it up, the Holy Spirit has left Saul because in Saul's heart, there was no willingness for him to live according to God's words and commandments anymore, but only the desire to live according to his ways. This meant that it was likely for him to go through the survival of fittest, meaning in order to protect his seat at the throne, he must have all kinds of concerns that he must dealt with. If there was Holy Spirit with him, then even though he may had all kinds of concerns and temptations, it would have been the case that he was able to gain courage, authority, insight, certainty, and wisdom to help himself to be blessed. However, since the Spirit has left him, instead of those things happening, only the fear, delusion, concern, and worry were likely to have caused him pains. In the pulpit commentary, it says that he went through a major depression as a result. So in order to deal with Saul's depression, people around him used music to treat him. So what's the important message here? So what's important here is not the fact that he used music to treat his problem. Since the Spirit has left him, he was exposed to survival of the fittest and the law of the jungle. He had to deal with these worldwide concerns, but remember, he was a weak person to begin with. For a weak person to deal with these kinds of concerns is only breathtaking, right? God's Holy Spirit is a spirit that helps us to understand God's promises and words, and it helps us to overcome the problems, no matter how weak and small we are. But since Saul defied and rejected God's words, he has nothing but fear and anxiety to deal with these kinds of problems. Let us always remember that God has called us and called as His when we didn't have anything or when we were weak. Because He still called us because He loved us and because of His grace. Folks, it is not our educational background or wealth or ability that protects us from the concerns. It is the fact that we're lowering ourselves in front of God, but trying to do things according to His words that are protecting us from burdensome and intimidating concerns that we get in our lives. So everyone goes through some kind of anxiety and concerns in their lives. However, do make a note of it, that without being faithful to God and without accepting the challenges offered by the Holy Spirit, nothing could save us from those anxieties, and anyone can end up like Saul. So in chapter 16, David wasn't chosen because he was special or great, but it was because he recognizes his weaknesses in front of God and has the obedient heart to be truthful in front of God. And you can compare it with your life to see whether you're living the David's life or Saul's life by seeing how you are trying to deal with your concerns. Now, in chapter 17, he talks about the story with Goliath. We all know this story, and it's absurd for this little guy to go up against a giant. When Saul was put into a crisis, he tried to compromise in order to wiggle his way out of the crisis. However, with David, he doesn't seek to compromise, but rather he chooses to fight, even if it means that he is risking his life for it. He rather chooses death than to have the Lord's name to be abused. Those kind of faith and determination cannot exist if David doesn't surrender his life for it. So as it has been stated repeatedly, there are many times where we need to surrender our lives in order to uphold the faith in our lives. Whether it's the life of Saul or David, if any of them chooses to live a faithful and truthful life, then we will be put in situations where they might fail at work or go bankrupt or lose close friends or fall behind in school. And, you know, basically dying out in the society, it might occur to us. So the question is, which path would you choose when you know these things? If we cannot surrender our lives to uphold our faith, then that must not be a genuine faith. God actually doesn't want some complex religious regulation or discipline. Starting from the book of Genesis, we can actually see that God really wants to see our genuine faith that we have for Him, rather than obeying to those strict rules. In order to live as His people, we need to believe that God is a living God, and we need to uphold our faith by obeying to His words in our individual sectors that we were put in. For Saul, he came up with excuses in front of this crisis and rather found ways to compromise the situation. In contrast, David decided to die for his faith in front of this crisis, to be the salt and the light of this world. And what kind of result did that bring? It was the death of Goliath. Living a faithful life doesn't mean some special way of living. It is rather simple. It is to believe in God and to follow His words and commandments. This means to fight against the earthly concerns and threats by being faithful to His words. Although there may be no light at the end of the tunnel or no miracles happening in our lives, just like how David, Daniel, and his friends, and Esther and Jesus have acted and lived, we need to follow the steps that are being told to us in the Bible. That is the way to live a faithful life. So I would like to ask, what kind of category do you fit into? Are you like David or like Saul? I encourage you to not to choose Saul's path by compromising with the earthly values, but to choose David's path, even if it may cost your life. Once we break that promise, we continue to come up with excuses to circumvent our actions. This is exactly what had happened to Saul. At the end, in order to cover up his action, he even decided to kill innocent people, such as David. Even though a strong person will become weak when working under the leadership, such as Saul. Even though a person may be strong, he or she may become weak when working under the leadership, such as Saul's. A character that comes close to David is actually Saul's son, Jonathan. By looking at Jonathan's activity book, we can see that he also had faith for God. We can see that Jonathan attacked thousands of Philistines with a little army. So we can actually see, we could kind of expect Jonathan to have become small, because he too was under the leadership of his father Saul. If you look at chapter 17, you can actually see that for 40 days, the Philistines came forward every morning and evening and took their stand against Jonathan and his people. But Jonathan couldn't find the courage to combat against Goliath. So Saul not only destroyed himself, but also played a role in destroying other people's other strong people around him. So Saul's path had led to many consequences. At the time of the crisis, if you don't confront it, but rather find ways to compromise the situation to make it convenient for us, then we will surely collapse. If we choose not to be faithful and make all kinds of excuses, then we'll not repent for our sins and start to act arrogantly. This can lead ourselves to believe that our ways of living our lives are correct, and therefore we will continue to choose to act according to our thoughts and beliefs rather than sticking with the original words of the Bible. I believe that it is the same principle that applies to the promises made at church and promises made in the family. Moreover, it applies in the same manner with the youth problems dealing with sexual desires. Once we compromise ourselves with those things, then it becomes a lot easier for us to come up with excuses to alleviate and circumvent the ways to deal with sins. Just like how once the hole is made and it is impossible for us to stop it with our bare hands, it will bring a domino effect and create more holes. Therefore, since the compromise that Saul makes in chapter 13, we can see that he faces the tragic outcome in chapter 31. As for David, since chapter 17, when he chooses to surrender his life for his faith, we can see that he's able to live a faithful life. Since he has already given his life by facing his fate against Goliath, he was able to pave his way of becoming a great ruler for his nation for the next 20 years. God appreciated and loved the fact that he was willing to sacrifice his life for his faith, which actually made David stronger. So faith is our attitude. It is the attitude that we have that shapes our faith. The fact that we're willing to surrender our life for God says a lot about our faith. If we have this kind of proper attitude, then God will give us strength to overcome our crisis. So let us stop praying to God so that He could change our circumstances or environment, but rather ask Him to give us the courage to live faithfully in order to overcome those hardships. If we make this kind of determination, then God will never give up on us and will allow us to defeat Goliath like how David did, and we're able to enjoy God's blessing in becoming the righteous people of God. In chapter 18, we can see this weird relationship between David and Jonathan. When Jonathan witnessed David defeating Goliath with faith, he started to admire David and love him as if he's loving himself. Jonathan shows deep affection towards David at this time. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, they were singing, which the lyrics read, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." When witnessing this, Saul becomes extremely jealous over David. Again, this is one of the consequences that he had brought upon to himself by not staying faithful to God's words. This king was also the king who was jealous over his own son when Jonathan won the victory against the Philistines. So how Satan works in Saul is that he gives Saul the thoughts of jealousy so that Saul can cause problems against those who are around him. Our brain works in a funny way. What I mean by that is, all that is required for us to adopt a continuous behavior is just this one tiny thought. So all that Satan had to do for Saul was to insert this evil thought of jealousy in his head. And since Saul wasn't listening to God's words, it was easy for him to accept the thought, and that thought has become a part of himself. And that part continues to grow over time, making Saul an evil person. Thus, in chapter 4, verse 23 in Proverbs, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." It is inevitable for humans to stay away from evil thoughts, but we have the choice to accept that into our heart. We have the choice to whether to accept it or not to accept that into our hearts. And especially when a crisis comes into our way, let us not accept those evil thoughts into our hearts, because if you do, you know how it will end up. You will end up like Saul. There's no question about it. So what am I really trying to say here is that don't be caught up with useless thinking, because it is likely that Satan is trying to throw in these evil ideas for you to accept into your hearts. So you might come across a thought of jealousy or hatred or lust, whatever it is. If it's in your head, just kind of think that, oh, it's the Satan doing his work, trying to implement these tiny sinful seeds into my head so that I may be able to accept them. But just reject them out from your heart. In verse 28, when Saul realized that the Lord was with David, and that his daughter loved David, rather than reflecting on his actions and sins, he decides to kill David in order to gain back his authority. So the important part about this is, instead of reflecting back on his own actions and his sins, he's like, he's coming up with another excuse or in another way of resolving the matter. Even in church, there are a lot of jealousy and crises that exist. When someone is complimented for their achievements, we may sometimes feel jealous towards that person and start to think about all sorts of useless and evil thoughts. If we continue such behavior, then we tend to fall into a deep pit where we cannot help ourselves out of it anymore. So when you see someone with a great faith and who is blessed by God, then rather than feeling jealous, I encourage you guys to reflect on your lives so that we may humble ourselves before the Lord. And also, when you see some kind of leadership performance, I encourage you to act like Jonathan so that we can be that leader's right or left arm, so that that person can expand and enrich their leadership in doing many great things. That's the kind of attitude that we need to have as a true worshiper and true Christians. So I encourage you to meditate on these, the things that we have talked about today, and the ways in which you could humble yourselves, so that you could be humble in front of God, so that He may bless you and encourage you and give you actually make you stronger rather than weak. So we'll continue this next week. And let's pray.